We dedicate this year L'Zecha Nesha Sekadoshim Shanafal Al-Kiddush Hashem, and unfortunately continue as another soldier we learned today passed away. Unfortunately, the number is getting closer to 200, and of course, all of those people that passed away on Simchas Torah. And of course, the Cholim, there are so many Cholim of Klal Yisrael. I also mentioned my brother-in-law's father is very ill, Simcha Ben Bela Gittel. I also mention, of course, the Chatufim, the hostages in Mir Tzashem, Shibizoche, to see them very, very soon. So this is an interesting question. It was based on a discussion. I think you asked me this, like, how do I develop my shir? And the answer is I don't. I think about topics, and then either I try to look for something, or I don't really know the answer to this question. But it's, I think, an interesting topic, which you may enjoy a lot, although you may not enjoy, because you may be like, it's not, like, who am I? I can't help you on this. And the question is that, please don't go crazy and don't get me in trouble and go home and say Rav Hartstein said. We're going to discuss what should teachers teach. The real topic, I'll explain to you why. There are some shurim, for example, in Leva Torah, I'm just giving an example because that's where I teach, and you can back me up on this, where probably they should not teach Gemara. Probably when Gemara, like the moment they hear Gemara, and I was just having a discussion with the Rebbe about this, that's how I started thinking about it. What?
Gemara, I'm going to
sleep in. Right. When they hear Gemara, and I'll be serious with you, I bet you, I could be wrong about this, tomorrow morning I teach your father's shir.
Yeah.
I bet you my attendance tomorrow morning will be better because they know we're not learning Gemara. We're learning business halacha. And that to them is practical. Even though there may be a few Gemaras on the sheet, that's fine. That's, let's say, like, you know, Agav Gemara. But to sit and learn Gemara, especially when it's not brachos, especially when, you know, the yeshiva is doing Bava Basar, right? So many gedolim of our generation have tried to develop, well, what should we be doing? I'll just start off with something funny. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that speaks about the three tiers. Just last week, Baruch Hashem, we had this chus of having Rav Shechter, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Kailo, and YU. There's a question and answer in Hakotel. It's actually the featured shir on YU Torah. And somebody asked the question about what should you learn? And you know, one of these famous questions, what's better to learn? What should a person, if he only has this amount of time, what should he learn? Should I make a Rechar Targum and different things? And then he said, but the Gemara Chagiga says that the Rebbeinu Shalom sheds three tears every day. Forget about one tier, but we'll go to the two other tiers. The two other tiers are, very funny, for teachers who shouldn't be teaching, and they should be in the business world. And then the third tier is people who are in the business world who really should be teaching, right? So unfortunately, we know that with time, I'm sure you don't have any of these teachers. This is more of an American problem. Kidding. But you have teachers. Like I don't know if you experienced this, but I had teachers in my life that, like, when I had them, were 80 years old. And then, like, I don't know, or I thought they were 80 years old, right? I remember I had a Rebbe in school. I happened to like him as a Rebbe because he was the first Rebbe to teach me that Chumash wasn't about memorizing words. I went through, like, third, fourth, fifth grade. It was just memorizing, and I was terrible at memorizing the words. And therefore, I didn't understand what Chumash was, like, boring to me. And then he said, no, get Pshat and Rashi. Understand Rashi. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Wow, this is an interesting Pshat. Oh, this is an interesting Jewish. This isn't it. That was different. So some teachers shouldn't be teaching. And then there are other people who are very talented, and unfortunately, they think that the worst thing you could ever do is become a teacher. It's chaval. So it starts off, because this is how my shir started off. It's very funny. The shir was given, the last time this was given, almost 20 years ago. Almost to the day, 20 years ago. It was given in December. And I started the shir off by saying, 20 years ago, I am no expert. You're going to laugh now, but this is really true. My kids go to non-religious schools. Now, I heard me say this, and I'm like, what am I saying? It's not a funny joke. What was it? At the time, 20 years ago, my kid was 3 years old, and he was going to a reform, everybody said, to Beth Am, it was called. Beth Am. Beth Am is a reform temple, and they had it downstairs where they had a thing. You, I don't know where you went to school. Do you remember? You may have gone into one of these schools. Anyway, Beth Am. Were you born here? No. Oh, you were born here. I'm sorry. So, your brothers. It was in Tidek, and basically they taught religion in a very interesting way. I remember it was Hanukkah, so we went there for the Hanukkah party. It was our first, and there was a lot of, happened to be my kid's teacher was this Russian woman. She goes, okay, now we're going to light the candles for the menorahs. And she said, who wants to light the menorah? So I like quickly put my head down because I was afraid there'd be some bracha action going on here. So they had some, oh, wait, there's a grandfather here. The grandfather. So then she says, okay, we're going to make three brachas. I'm like, what? It was like the fifth night of Hanukkah, right? And it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Shechianu, because we're all together and this is a happy day. And the grandfather made the brachas b'shem u'alcha. So it was like, wow, yotze, you know, bracha levatola fest. So,
okay, what was the other two?
The regular brachas on Hanukkah candles. It was remarkable. Sometimes they do this when they light the candles in the White House. My brother-in-law was there at least once. I know people that were there, and they say it's funny because most of the time it doesn't turn out to be Hanukkah. It's not Hanukkah, and it's during the day. And then some like Reform rabbi gets up and lights the candles with a bracha. Okay, so if you look at the first side, the Mishnah Berurah side, I brought it because I used to give a Mishnah Berurah here. So it's actually something interesting, which I think, I apologize, but one of the negatives of this shul, those that are listening online can hear the rabbi as he's speaking, but one of the negatives of Mishkan Shiloh is that we start with Rabbi Yishmael. I don't know why this became Minhag Eretz Yisrael. I'm a fan of it only because, you know, it makes davening quicker, and I should probably want to davening, but a lot of people show up late, and they don't say korbanos. I don't know if this is an Eretz Yisrael thing. I don't know why this happens. I don't think it's right. Whereas in America, most shuls start off with brachos, at least the modern Orthodox shuls. Right? They start off, Baruch Atah Hashem, like that's how it starts. Why do I say it's bad? Because look what it says. Kavu l'shanot, look at this, is Siman Nun in the Shulchan Aruch. Kavu l'shanot et Parshat HaTamid. What do we say? So we say every single day the Parsha of the Tamid. We, of course, add a lot of different korbanos. Ezum u'koimam. Ubraisa Rabbi Yishmael. Kadesh Yiske Kol Adam Lilmod Bechol Yom Mikra Mishnah Ugamara. Ubraisa Rabbi Yishmael, Havim Makam Gemara. So we learn the Mishnah says Ein Makayim. Please correct me if I'm wrong, my dear Sephardic friends. Do you say this in the right? Ezim Makayim, do you say this? Is this one of yours there? No. You do, no? You say Rabbi Yishmael for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't make this up. It's the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, why do we say that? Because we want to have the combination of the three. That really, we should be learning, if I were to ask you, what should teachers teach? The answer is very simple, right? What should Shana Aleph programs teach? It's simple. It should be. It shouldn't be, for now, what we're saying so far, it should be a third, a third, and a third. We should learn Tanakh, which in Eretz Yisrael, you're a little bit more lucky because there is something called Nach that you learn, which in America, like maybe here and there you learn a shoftim, and then like later in your life, like certainly in high school, but certainly in college, and certainly some people today, if somebody would come to you, Shema, Katuv be I don't know, Chabakuk, and like, whoa, don't quote for me the New Testament, you know, what's going on over here? What are you, 365? Like, what are you quoting me? And like, no, Chabakuk, it's in the, you go, really, is Chabakuk, he's one of ours? You know, I never heard of it before. Safanya, he's a Safanya, you know? We don't know. It's let's arena. Rav Shechter always jokes, and he says, how do my yeshiva guys, his guys, know Tanakh? If you say to them, where's this pasuk from? They go, oh yeah, Meforish, Gemara Menachos. It's also a pasuk in Yeshayahu. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we learn. It's Nebuch. So the Mishnah Berurah comments here in source number whatever. And the Mishnah Berurah comments, Kavu l'shana, yesh makom o'chein, oymer meizim makomim. Why? This is a very good question. What is this exactly? What are you doing when you say these things? You're supposed to be saying this. What are you doing exactly? It seems in the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to be learning Torah, right? So says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't say the Beit Avol because you're not allowed to learn Torah. Ain't zanachan, shekol hu seder hayom. Ain't bo mishum Talmud Torah lavel. You know, it's okay. Rav Soloveitchik has this idea. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about a concept that's called Torah's Tefillah. This is a big shaila. I don't know if you've seen this before. There's a machzer of Tisha B'Av. Korin put it out, and we have the art school puts it out. And in there, it says in parentheses whether or not you should be saying Parshat Korbanot. By Idaber Hashem Moshe Mor, because it's learning. Just like, by the way, in the Siddurim, but in the art school Siddur, it says by Shabbos, it says that maybe you shouldn't say the Hiratzons, because maybe that's shtickle that's here. It says here. But Shabbos v'yontav ain't omrim bakasha. You don't say Hiratzon. So on one hand, Rav Soloveitchik says a lot of these things on Tisha B'Av, when you're not allowed to learn, you can say Rabbi Yishmael, but that's learning because it's not really learning. But and then maybe for the Beis Avel, he says the Mishnah Berurah writes Ze'enu Nachon. You should say it. But I thought the whole point is to be to ke'ilu have this three style of learning right when we say it in the morning. The truth is we do this by this. I may be wrong. But I don't get this. You don't do this. Correct me if I'm wrong. When we say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, what do we say? We say three things: Yerecha Hashem Yishmerecha, Elu Dvarim, and Elu Dvarim, right? Because we want to get in Torah, Mishnah, and Gemara. Yeah. Do you say that? What do you say after Birchas HaTorah? Also three things. Oh, okay, fine. So I'm glad we're the same. So then it's a Shemidrash Shabba Gemara Shabachu Braisazu Mimneishi Techilas Torahs Kahanim She Rosh Kol Parshas Karbanos Kavu Leitzol Karbanos V'chein Bachu Ezim Kamer. Why the Kavu Acher Atamin Mishum Shenera B'chol Maka Matzker Mishum. There's one reason. Then he says the other reason. Mimneishi Perik Zeh Eino Machloikis V'hu Mishnah Brura. The Moshe, you know, only Mishnah Brura could write that. It's a Mishnah Brura. That's what he called his day for the Mishnah Brura. It's so pashut and easy, Ezim Makarim, and there's no Machlikas. Wow, we found actually a Mishnah with no Machlikas in it? Can't be. Many comment on this. What do you mean there's no Machlikas in here? Look at the Gemara after Ezim Makarim. Every Mishnah has a Machlikas. That's what Gemara is all about. So he says that's a little bit strange. What do you mean there's no Machlikas? Sitz Eliezer actually has a Tshuva in Chelik Tas Simon Hey. And he says, what are you talking about? Yesh machlokas po. There's no machlokas in the Gemara. The Or Cheschayim says, based on Kabbalah, there's a reason why. He says, I can't explain it to you. The Arizal says, shh, you should say Ezim HaKarim, I don't want to explain it to you. So we do see, at least to start, that there is an idea of taking our learning and splitting it into three. Right? And obviously everybody here that's in school, I'm sure, has, right, at least in high school, you have this three. Right? I assume. Maybe not every day, but you're supposed to be learning, right? You have, obviously, classes in Torah, probably in Nach, and probably Gemara. I hope in Gemara. Maybe you, not Gemara, but most of us here have in Gemara. So we actually do this, not right? The funny thing is, once you get to yeshiva, you go to Hester Yeshiva, or you go to whatever, wherever you're going, yeshiva, what are they called? Yeshiva Gavoa. Right, you go to any of these places, what all of a sudden happens? All of a sudden it's Gemara, depends where you go. It's Gemara exclusively, or Gemara and like some classes at 6 o'clock on Chassidus. The question is this right or not? That's the question. So if you turn the side over, where does this whole idea come from? So if you look at the first of the sources, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed, you may have learned this Gemara before. The Gemara starts, Amarav Safra, Mishum Rav Yoshua ben Chanina, he says, cute. He's a play on words. Don't read a Vishinantam Levanecha, Vishilashtem. Your Torah learning should come in three. You should have equal time that you should devote to learning Gemara, Mishnah, and Tanakh.
Yeah, when you get older, you need to only do.
We didn't get there yet. You can't take my shear away. Correct. So then Toisos over here says, why is this? Perek de Kuntras, Yimei Shabbos, Kaloi Mar, Shnei Yomim Mikra, Shnei Yomim, because how exactly do you split this up? Maybe it doesn't have to be per day. Maybe Monday's my Gemara day, and Tuesday's my, whatever, Yom Sheni, I shouldn't say. Yom Sheni, and Yom Shlishi is this, and Yom Chay, and then Shabbos is this, maybe Shabbos is, okay, could be. That could be as well. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin here, in source number 2, says something different. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Either shechasa lulmod v'lo zachta lulmod. My ksev, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, blula. The Gemara is considered a blula. The Gemara has everything in it, just like you said. Right? And he quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the Toisos over here says, Peirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Talmud Shalanu, ana patur matzman. Because all you have to do now is learn Gemara. That's all you need. Why? Gemara is amazing. Gemara has everything in it. Obviously, there's going to be a Mishnah before the Gemara. Then we're going to have the fun part of the Gemara. And the Gemara is always quoting Pesukim. There's always Drashos. There's always fun, you know. And it's not just from the Torah. It's also from Nach. There's for Yishkoyach. You may be right in what you just said. I forgot who says exactly what you're saying. No. It's only when you're proficient. You spend the early years learning Tanakh. Right, when you're right, you perfect Tanakh. I was just listening to a podcast my wife said I should listen to, and they were saying about the successes of kids in Israel, and that you shouldn't say, well, we can't move to Israel because no chinuch is very, very hard. I'm saying that with a nice crowd of people who are coming to learn. What? Says what? You should move to Eretz Yisrael? Oh, what?
Yeah, that, the,
so I saw it in one of the Chuvah papers. Where did I see it? Yeah. I don't know. I wrote it here. So, based on Tosfos over here, so he said that a person becomes proficient. So he was talking about a kid from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, oh, my kid decided that before he goes into the army, he wants to finish Shas. Like, that's normal. Like, that's, you know, this person was saying how, you know, Israeli kids can be really on a high level. Like, my son finished Shas. I don't think that's the normal. But there are certainly people who learn a lot of Tanakh, have not finished Tanakh. There are some girls who finished all of Tanakh before the Bagriot. And because of the Bagriot, Baruch Hashem, we learn a lot of Tanakh. It's actually funny. I will quote Rav Sternbach today. I was looking up his tshuva tonight. And a few tshuvas before this tshuva, Nechelik Aleph, this... I call Chelik Aleph before he went wacko, because he was still in, I think he was still in Johannesburg. He was a rabbi in Johannesburg in South Africa. But then I'm totally wrong because of the tshuvas I read. The tshuva was, a Haredi kid wants to know, can he, he's Baruch Hashem, very proficient. He knows Tanakh very, very well. He says, can I learn Tanakh? Can I sign up for the Chidona Tanakh? So I read the question, I had to read it again. I'm like, the question before that was very cute, and that made me feel really bad. Can you give Shurim in Eretz Yisrael in English? Or should you give it in Hebrew? That's what he talks about how, what do you mean you're in Eretz Yisrael? Should give in this Lashon HaKodesh. How can you give in another language? Shkoyach, thank you, Dan Hartson. Slicha. Az achshav anachnu yachilim, achshav kol ha-shurim. No, okay, no, sorry. That was it. Ani Baruch. So, Rav Sternbach says, Chas v'sholom, the Chidon HaTanach is a terrible thing. It's all the Koyfrim, and it, like, this shows you how little he knows. It's all non-religious people that join it. Like, it's crazy. Anyway, fine. So that's interesting. We'll get to Rav Sternbach in a moment. So the question is, it seems that there was, like, different levels. It seems like the development of these three things was, like, a fun thing. And then people said, but you know what? Tanakh isn't very interesting. You could say the opposite. You may all disagree with me. I have many friends who, like, I don't know, I just became popular in Levat Torah to the Shana Aleph guys. I have a few guys that asked me, would you be interested in learning with me a Chavrusa? So I have a very hard time for me to say no to Chavrusas. So I said, sure. So I asked the guy, what do you want to learn? So he said to me, and I'm thinking in my mind what I don't want to learn. He's like, I'm trying to finish Tanakh this year. So I'm really getting stuck on, like, Sefer Daniel. I'm like, that's in Aramaic. Everybody's going to get stuck on that one. That's a hard one, my friend. I said to him, I don't know if you want to learn with me because I don't know what Chiddush I'm going to tell you. Like, bring me an art scroll and we'll learn it together in English. It's very hard. It's very hard, Daniel. I remember I learned my nephew for his bar mitzvah. I don't know why. I had this chus of learning with my nephews different things. One of my nephews learned Gemara. The other one said he wants to learn Sefer Daniel. It was really hard. I don't know if you enjoyed it as much as I did enjoy it. So, in any case, it seems to be that at some point, we concentrated more on Gemara. And there's no question that Gemara became like this mainstay of, that's what develops. Obviously, the whole concept of Daf Yomi, which Baruch Hashem, I can't imagine what's going to happen. This round of Daf Yomi, there's been thousands of more people that are doing it. Obviously, here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, we have to mention, you know, Eli Stefanski and his... It's unbelievable what's going on. And that centralizes us. But again, for some people, it doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. Obviously, there's the famous Gemara that says a person should learn Masha Libo Chafetz Bo. Clearly, there's a Gemara that says that if a person... Nobody says... I think Rav Shechter has asked this question also. Like, nobody's going to say, you can't sleep at night. And you go downstairs. And now you don't know what to do. Should you turn it on? Should you watch, I don't know, YouTube shorts? Or should you learn something? But you know what? At 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to sit and open a Gemara. Can you learn Musa? Like, it's a stupid question. Like, you can learn whatever you want. Should learn Mashachi, what's to learn about? Or a person's on the plane and he says, listen, I can't sit and learn Gemara on the plane. It's very hard for me. I'm on a plane. It's impossible. Can I listen to a shir on... Of course you can. That's ridiculous to say that. So I wanted to give another shot. If you look at the next source number 3, is a Midrash and Parshas Vayetze. That Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, develops into a beautiful idea. He has a sefer called Logic of the Mind and Logic of the Heart. There he develops a whole concept of Torah today, but we don't have time to do that. But he says something very, very interesting, and mamish speaks to the times that we're in. And I hope here you guys will understand, how it has a lot to do with the time that we're in, and maybe you agree with me. And Rav Moshe Feinstein points this out as well. at some point, and I just, you know, last week? 2 weeks ago? Was parent-teacher conferences, right? What do they call it here? What's it called? Asivat Torah. So that, and you see, this is why I don't give Shir in Hebrew. They had Asivat Torah. So you go to Asifat Harim and you see, like, you know, when you come, especially when you go through the whole list of teachers, right? And you come home and then you sit with your kid and you say, okay, let's go over, like, I've, you know, three kids that are in, you know, Avat Yisrael. And so I got to see a majority of the teachers. And then they come home, one of the kids like, oh, that teacher's the word, Abba, Ma, psh, forget about it. That guy doesn't know what's going on. That guy doesn't, you know, and literally, I went into one class, he was telling me about my kid, and we literally like, I don't think you have the right kid. He's like, no, I'm like, that's not him. That's, you know, whatever. And it turned out we were right. It wasn't him. But so this is what to be said. So if you look at the Midrash here in source number, he says something very, very strange. We know that Yaakov Avinu has that famous dream, right? Parshas Vayetze, the beginning of Vayetze, has the dream. Sulam Mutzav Arza, Malachim Oyun V'dar, that is what a Jew is all about. So the Midrash then says, and then what has? Vayar V'hinei Be'er Basada. He says, what's the bear that they saw Basada? The famous bear they took off the stone, right? Ma Be'er Basada. Zeb Beis Knesset. That's the Beit Knesset. Ki min ha-be'er hu yikshu ha'edim. So he says, what did he see? He saw a well in the field. He goes, those are the Batei Knesiot. And that's where the water came. But he says, you know what it really is? Ve'a'evin ha-gadola. And the evin that he had to take off, and they had such a hard time, right? They couldn't take it off, but he was able to. What was that? That was the Yetzer Hara. Nitzasu Shama Kola Adrim, and all the people that were there, the shepherds, they didn't know how to take it off. Remember his famous thing? He said, Achai, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your boss's time? Says, we can't get it off. And he was so strong, Yaakov, and he takes it off so easily, like a corkscrew takes off a thing. So what was this stone, according to the first of the Midrash Rabbah? It was simply the Yetzer Hara. The problem is that the Midrash continues. That was Sinai. V'nei sham shloshe d'rei tzon. Konim levim v'yisraelim. Ki min ha-be'er hu yishku ha-edarim. L'misham shamu aseres ha-dibros. V'evin gedola? And what was the evin? Al-pi ha-be'er hu zeh ha-shchina. Rav Aaron Salavitch says, you can't have, it's the same Midrash, not two different Midrashim. You can't have more of a different interpretation. One says that the stone on top of the Be'er was the Eitz Hara, and one says it was Shechina. So Rav says, how am I going to answer this Midrash? The truth is there are six different interpretations. There are six different mimers in the same Midrash. But he says the ones that are the most opposite is that the stone was the Eitz Hara, the Evan was the Eitz Hara, or the Evan was the Shechina. How can you say? So he says very beautifully, that is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is, sometimes you'll be very, very lucky. And you'll give a shiur. I find this, I don't, you're going to laugh, but I'll find this with girls. When I give a shiur to girls, like when you go to like, I don't know, one of these like seminaries, you go to like Teret, they're like, they bring out like a notebook. And when you start talking, they start like writing. I'm like, can you concentrate on me? And they're like, oh my God, my heart's saying, we're writing everything you're saying. I'm like, oh my God, really? Right, and boys in this year, they're like anything else they can do. Right, they're making planes out of the things, right? Well, you've gotten much better, though. They're making planes, they're playing with this and that. But anything else that they can do, they do. Right? And Chas V'Shalom, and some, you know, yeshivas, like in Leva Torah, they make them take their phones away. They're like, they don't know what to do. And especially, I give a shiur, 1 hour I give a shiur. Okay, I make jokes, it's all. I give a shiur for an hour. Like, it's like hard for that. So he says, yeah, sometimes you have a Shechina experience, where it's teaching is like a pleasure. And then sometimes I have to teach his father's here, right? And it's a Yetzer Hara experience. But says Rav Aaron, that is a good teacher. A good teacher can come to a Yetzer Hara experience, and if you don't believe me, go back tonight and ask your father. And your father will say, hopefully, he'll say, no, but your father will say, get the feedback. What do they think of Rav Hart's scene this year? I think for the most part, they'll say, yeah, it's fun. Oh, but it's crazy, right? Why? Because I'm crazy. Again, this isn't a shiur about Rav Harstein, right? But that should be, maybe I'm the Gemara, the businessman that should be a teacher. But also because I'm like a grandpa, because I volunteer my time, I can say whatever I want, they can't fire me. And if they fire me, I'm like, I don't even work here, so you can't fire me, I don't understand. Whatever. By the way, some Rebbe came up to me today, it was very strange, he said to me something about pay, I go, I don't get paid, and he thought I was kidding. He's like, no, really, I'm just saying, with the taxes, I'm like, I don't get paid, what don't you understand? He's like, And then he looked at me like I'm, then looked at me differently, like I'm a meshugana, and he says, you know, you really should get paid. I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, can we stop having this discussion? He's telling me about taxes, you know, you could pay, give the money back, and then you get a tax deduction. I go, okay, I have a deal with the Rabbanu Shalom. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Anyway. But says Rav Aaron, they're two opposites for sure. But there's different ways to educate people. Yes, there's a Shechina experience, but then there's the Yetzer Hara experience. It's very interesting because the Rambam, Rav Aaron says, the Rambam has the Yad Chazaka. This would be a Shana Aleph question. You don't leave a Torah. Does anybody know how many in the Yad Chazaka? How many sections are there?
13, 15, 44.
The Yad Chazaka.
Oh, 14.
14. So George Washington's white horse. Does anybody know what color it was? Right. These are the questions I have. Fine. The Yad Chazaka is 14. One of the 14 chalakim are Kedusha. So Kedusha we expect to be, all of a sudden, in the middle of Kedusha, Malachas Asuras. Talks about milk and meat, about having things that aren't kosher. What is that doing here? This is terrible. Comes along Rav Aaron and says, no, that is Kedusha. Kedusha for the Jewish people is taking something mundane and making it cool. This is the integral question. Can we do that? I'll give you a great example. Great example. Most of you won't understand. I know there's a few people here that will understand what I'm talking about. Ready? There's something called the Super Bowl. Shemata al zeh? Super Bowl. Okay. It's in a few weeks. You're going to be upset with this story I'm going to tell you. But I actually have to decide when to go to America. I have two possible dates. One is Erev Super Bowl. Erev Yontif. One is Erev Yontif. I don't like to fly in Erev Yontif normally. Mamish, I would get there in the morning. I would get there in the morning for the Super Bowl. Or I could go the week. No, I can't go. Well, I could go the week before. Yeah, I could go the week before. Then it doesn't matter. And I would be there for the Super Bowl. I have an event. There's a YU Model UN. And they had, so we actually, they just, 2 weeks ago, they called us and said, oh my God, we just realized it's the Super Bowl. We're buying big screen TVs. We need a separate meal that has to be Super Bowl themed because they have to have wings and blah, 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 and deli platters. And blah, okay, fine. So the question is, can you do a halftime shiur? Many, many years in Leva Torah, I was that guy. Of course, in Leva Torah, it's a little bit different. So in Leva Torah, they did 1 year when I used to actually work there. Right, right. So what we did 1 year was, right, the Super Bowl was like at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we did the following thing. If you want to go to the Super Bowl, because it's a big deal. If you go to the Super Bowl, it means you're not functioning the next morning, right? You can't go to shiur. So you can only go if you go to two shiur. They gave two shiur before. So I gave this amazing shiur. It was called the Super Bowl, like Super Bowl in Halacha, and it was about taking drugs and all the people that, you know, took drugs at the Super Bowl. You know what I'm talking about? The people that used to, you know, became very, very strong. Steroids. So it was like steroids in Halacha. The guys loved it. What? Right. So that's the Shiloh. The Shiloh says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Yes, sometimes we take things. Let's take probably one of the greatest examples. We take wine. Wine can be used for something really bad. Right? You have enough wine, I'll explain to you what's bad, right? You see what goes on in Purim. Terrible. I'm not joking. I'm sometimes scared to drive certain places. To go down Dolev, it's like the scariest thing in the world, right? Dolev, it's crazy. Right? Everybody, right? And the funniest is when the Yushalayim, the Machmir, the people come from Yushalayim, the yeshivas from Yushalayim to get money, and they knock on your door and go, I'm getting money from my yeshiva in Yushalayim, Mir. I'm like, the Mir, you tell me your Rosh Yeshiva wants you to be like this? Fine. So that's the question. The question is, lahalacha, do these, so Rav Aaron says, yes, of course they go together. Because what do we use wine for? Anything kaddish. How do we start Shabbos? With wine. Right? According to some, by the way, you should dafka use wine. The Seder for sure. It's better to use wine. Okay, people don't happen not to like wine. But you should have even the girly wines, you know, the 3%, the Moscatos. Yeah, you should have something. Wine is Kedusha. I'm showing the Rabbanu Shalom, I could take something that could be used for bad for good. Kedushin is the highest form. Marriage, yeah, can be used. Another religion, we're in a shul, I can't say the other religion. The other religion believes that's a low level. You have a heter to get married, right? Why do they believe that? How raya? Because they're a priest. What, they don't get married because that's their highest level. No. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Elokai neshama v'tohiri. We're created with a Torah neshama. We're Torah. So that's the idea. That's the idea. And therefore, as Rav Aaron continues, and he says that's the idea, the Midrash says, that it's the yeshiva experience. Another medrash says, the same medrash continues, says, it's the Sanhedrin. That's the idea. And the Sanhedrin was also another word for yeshiva, was the Sanhedrin. So that's the idea. And he says that that's the idea of also when the Pasuk says, Vayar Elokim, as kol asher asav, as said tov ma'od. Tov ma'od is yetzer atov and yetzer hara. It's the combination of both. Gemara in Brachos, dach nun dal, b'chol levavcha, b'shnei levavcha. What do you mean? You don't have two hearts? Yes, you do. You have a yetzer hara and yetzer tov. You have to work with both. That's the idea. You have to work with both. The Tzitz Eliezer has a cute tshuva. He was asked by the Rosh Hashiva of Chorev when Chorev started. And he said, I'm sure you don't understand what I'm talking about because I don't understand it. He says, we have a fun game that we play where we have like a, I don't know, whatever, a raffle or something where whoever can recite the most psukim or mishnayos baal peh. Psukim, he says, are aparam halachically. You're not supposed to say psukim baal peh. If it's not shogru b'pi, for sure, you're not supposed to. Right, really, you're supposed to look on. When you say kiddush, even when you say kiddush, some people say you should look inside of the thing because it's from the Torah. You should really not say the thing. So I get shogru b'piv. We know it by heart, but certainly psukim that you don't know by heart, you really shouldn't say. So he says that nowadays it's mutter because it helps us in learning. So he's going to allow it. He says, and in fact, if you look at source number 4, Rav Moshe Feinstein, so Rav Moshe has this beautiful tshuva over here. Rav Moshe was asked this question in 1972. What are the ikarim of being a good teacher? So he says, yesh leida, you should know, shehalomed, right? The person who's the teacher, shel Torah, im hayeladim, eino kolomar shar devarim. This isn't math. This, by the way, I find this to be the number one problem in all of education. Especially, sorry to say this, but especially Talmidim that come to our yeshiva from high schools in America and Canada and England, I'm equally finding them at fault. They all think that Gemara, Torah, Nach, math, science, English, they're all together. They're subjects. Their whole life they learned it as a subject. They never thought it could be fun. I know in camp, I don't make a lot of money. I also volunteer my time. A few weeks ago, I spoke in Springfield, New Jersey. So they introduced me as I'm a Ram in Leva Torah, and I'm a Ram in Camp Masora. I said, good, these are two positions that I don't get paid for. The third position I get paid for, I'm actually supposed to be out now at a Shabbaton. I said, I'm cutting class and coming to this. Okay, fine. So I find that as well. When you start teaching informally in Missouri, they don't have to come to my shiur. They don't have to come to my shiur. All of a sudden people come, hey, Rabbi, you're so cool. It was such a cool case you gave. You know, I don't know if you remember, like, this is probably many weeks ago. You give a Gnevas Das case about a woman that gets married, and on the wedding night, the husband finds out that she has a fake leg. You know, the guy's like, oh, it's an awesome story. Like, you hear stories like that, or the guy that knocks on the door, and he says, Allahu Akbar, and it turns out it's the father-in-law of the Kala that got married last night, and it's a Gnevas Das question. These guys are going crazy over these questions. They love them. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not a regular subject, kesavar la talmidim, rak la hasbir la talmidim sheyeda. So you're not just teaching them, right? You don't just go through Gemara like it's Bekiyos and they don't understand what's going on. You can't do that. Rak la hasbir la talmidim sheyeda hadavar vein nogea. It doesn't get to their lives. No, klal im yichnas kol kach balev anefesh al talmid. The mice of shalom dim shall hamor belim natoyu v'chiyuv the kabela tabi dim kach belibo v'nafshu she ze ikar achayim. This isn't E equals MC squared. I want you to live. No, this is the Torah, right? I have the schus when I was in YU. I didn't have this mostly my whole life, except by my amazing father who sits and learns Torah all the time. So I didn't really have a good dugma yeshiva. I never had like a Rebbe. I, as I told you, I had like 80-year-old Rebbes or Rebbe I couldn't relate to. And then when I went to YU, I had Rav Meir Goldbach. I don't know if you ever heard him give a shiur. In those days, he would run around and throw things at people. And every year, he would break his shtender like a few times. And you just said, this guy's on drugs. It's Baruch Hashem, the drugs of Torah. And you would say, I want that. I want to be on those drugs. That's what Rav Moshe, I think, is basically saying. Rav Moshe is saying that's what a teacher is. It's not just teaching a subject. Right? He says, Ma Inyan Shmita El Tzahar Sinai. He gives that as an example. What do you mean, Ma Inyan Shmita El Tzahar Sinai? We live with Shmita all the time. It's funny because that's a term Israelis use that term all the time. Right? In America, we say, well, it's the price to you in China. Right? But Ma Inyan Shmita El Tzahar Sinai? Yeah, just like there's an Inyan of Shmita. Shmita is always on your mind. Because if you're a farmer, you're always thinking to yourself, oh, shoot, another few years, Shemitah just ended. But no, it's not really true. It's another 4 years. Already the South, they're thinking about, what are they going to do with Shemitah? Because of the war, and how they're going to have time to replant, because Shemitah's coming up in another, whatever, four or five years. Yeah, that's the way that it is. It's totally different. Torah is intrinsically different. You have to taste the fire of the Torah, the fire of Sinai, as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says. It goes, and honestly, it's not about the quality or the quantity. It's about how he teaches it. Coming seriously, if a person said, I always remember this. When I was teaching more formally in the yeshiva, I used to give a business class, and like part of it, I told the guys, this is like a college class. You're gonna have a real Meir Makoma sheet. You're gonna get it. So a guy comes up to me after class, and he says to me, Rebbe, can I tell you something? You know what I love about Yashir? We literally just learned Torah for an hour, and it felt like we didn't learn Torah for a second. It's amazing. And I'm like, I'm not sure that's a compliment. Where's the compliment there? He goes, no. He goes, we just did all these Meir Makomas, but I didn't feel like it was Torah. It was like fun. Nebuch. That's what he was saying. Torah's not fun. Nobody ever told me Torah was fun. Don't you understand that every morning we make a bracha? What do we say? We literally say in the bracha, the Torah should be sweet, should be fun. I don't know if you ever, I'm sure you've all had that experience. Where you go to a shir and the person, I do this every year. In the beginning of it, there's some stupid rabbi who like hypes me up. He says, Rabbi Hartstein, he's the funniest guy in all the shir. You're going to love his shir. And the guy's like ready for me. I'm like, oh, here we go. He's a funny guy. And I sit down and I just go like this. Hi, guys. How you doing? So we're going to have a lot of fun. So I like to give jokes. And then like I say some stupid joke. And they're like, oh, my God. And you see the guys going, oh, my God. This is, we think he's funny. He's rabbi funny. You know, I'm like, hey, there are two rabbis in a bar. And the priest walks in. And they're like, and then I'm like, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. Then I just make fun of all of them. And everybody has a good time. But that's my way. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he said, that's what he's saying. Right? It's funny, there's a story that when Menachem Begin came to America, when he was prime minister, he wanted to meet Rav Moshe Feinstein. He knew about him, the Gadol Hador. So they invited, Menachem Begin invited him to come to the consulate. And Rav Huttner got very upset. He says, the Gadol Hador? No, you come to his house. So he said, there's a lot of security problems with coming to the house. So he says, no, nothing to it. So there's a whole the whole Mimshla, what they call that came. It was him, Rav Huttner, other great Gedolim. So they all came, and it was like an hour before, and the Shabak people, whatever, Mossad, they come and check the house, right? God forbid, there's nothing there, bombs, whatever. They're checking. Rav Huttner got really upset. Anybody knows Rav Huttner, you would understand he was a very interesting character. And he says, Mata Machapes? Mata Machapes? So he says, he says, Tamachapes, bombs? Bombs? You're looking for bombs? Because you want to see a bomb? He says, I know where they are. The security goes, what do you mean you know where they are? He goes, over there, Dibros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote Dibros Moshe on the Gemara. Those are bombs. You know, like, okay. They arrested him. He's, you don't say that to Shabbat. You know, when you leave Israel, you know, they ask you. And we're asking you a few questions because you'll know. And the Americans are like, sometimes they want to be funny. Forget it. You're not getting on that plane if you say something like, do you have anything sharp? I don't have anything sharp. I have a bomb. Forget, that guy's done. That guy's never coming into Israel again. That guy's, fine. They're going to find him like in 2 years from now. So that's the ikar over here. The ikar is, yeah, you have to make Torah fun. And sometimes if it's not Gemara, okay. And being honest, not everybody here is going to learn Gemara for the rest of their lives. So if you can get involved in Torah through learning Halacha, so that's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to finish Mishnah Berurah instead of finishing Shas? Yes. Don't get me wrong. Gemara is the most important thing. You should finish Shas. You have a chiyuv to finish Shas. Not necessarily. And even Rav Sternbuch, in the last source, was asked the question, as they said, in the Chelek Aleph, about playing basketball. Rachmana Litzlan. Right? Playing, I think he has a tshuva on the same idea. Playing soccer. Can you play soccer? Right? So what is it? The Rebbe smart? The Rebbe makes a deal. I know that I had this in those guys that were in Avat Yisrael. You can remember Rav Perlmutter. Rav Perlmutter, from what I understand from my kids, he used to have that was Masmidim, right? The highest class. And he had a deal with them. If you learned a certain amount, I don't know what it was, you got to play soccer. Right? You have to daven before you came to school. I don't remember what the whole thing was. You got to play soccer. So he writes, I don't know, the Rebbe's going to play basketball with him. So he's smart. What does the Rebbe do? The Rebbe says, guys, I actually had this. When I was in 12th grade, when I was in Kikta Yubet, besides Yubet is a joke as it is, unfortunately, the school changed a lot. And a lot of the Rebbeim were fired, and they had all like new Rebbeim in my school in Hefter. And the Rebbe that we had knew he's going to have no success for us. He came from Torah Vadas. He had nothing to do with us. So he was very smart. He goes, guys, I know you want to play basketball. Let's make a deal. Shir is an hour and 45 minutes every day. If you learn with me for 45 minutes, I'll let you go out. But you have serious learning for four. And every day we were like, good deal. So we would go to, we would go to davening. Not everybody would go to davening. We would have a minhag to go to the bagel store first. And we'd sit in the bagel store for the first half hour. Then we'd learn with him for 45 minutes. It's a good deal. And then we'd play basketball. And sometimes he would play with us. He would watch. He's very smart. So if you look at the last source, he says like this. Lo nago voseinu kein. He goes, you don't hear stories about, oh, you ever hear the famous story about the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish, starting five, the Chazon Ish, right? Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. We're like, no. There wasn't a starting, right? They didn't play basketball. You don't hear those stories. So he says that they didn't do that. Ma'o, the Beis Yosef writes in Orachaim, Simen Shem Ches, Mevia, Sefer Ugar says, B'Shem Yerushalmi, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos, or the Mesachek, the Kadurim, who knows? But he says, but the Rebbe writes, Yachzik HaTalmud Torah, Shabir Ol Talmidim, Kosha La'amin, Shezeu HaDerech. It's hard for me to believe that this is the right Derech. Aval, Tidon Chavercha, Ad She'egil Makoma. But he admits this, which is wonderful. I don't know who you are. I don't know your school. Maybe this school needs that. Maybe playing basketball with the kids will get them to like you. Again, don't get me wrong. I never think a Rebbe should be like buddies. I hate that. But to show that he's human, that he has, that's nothing wrong with. The imzel hechrech tzarech lishol harav shema tamachach miyachlit umikol makom ein lekavoy kein elakorasha. Because I'm not going to allow you to do this all the time. But these kids nabach, okay, just for this once. But certainly if the charedim, like no charedim ever play basketball, that you can't do. That's crazy talk. He says especially here. Apparently there's a yeshiva called Torah Moshe. Especially in Torah. No, okay. They shouldn't do that. L'shanot, because that's not the way of chinuch. V'roy l'lamid habanim b'yira, because better teach them b'yira. They should have all of you. So the reason why I bring this tshuva is because the question, of course, becomes: should we change the old school? The old school was you had a rebbe with a white beard, and he walked in, and everyone stood up, and there was Yira. They were scared of the Rebbe, because he was coming from Sinai, he was teaching Torah for Sinai. But the kids weren't interested. So wouldn't it be better to have a Rebbe who looks cooler, who could relate to them, who understands, who could actually say words like, thank you very much for coming tonight, I know this is Sunday Night Football. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could say those things. He understands what when I say football, I mean something else. I mean football, not football, right? But okay. But he understands. He could recite, right? Maybe that's not good. Interesting. But I think Yosef Itzvareinu, one of the important points is that, yes, we have to realize, Rav Goldach once said, beautiful idea. What do we say in davening? Abrim Shona Akut Bedor. Right? Kabbalat Shabbat. Used to be that a generation was, because nowadays, not, are you kidding me? Abrim Shona? Because like 40 seconds is a new door. 40 minutes, right? Everything's changing all the time. Big deal. iPhone 14? Nebuch, lo aleinu. You don't have the 15, the 16. You know, just see, what's his name? Shai, we're great. That's how I know what version of the iPhone is new now, because he's giving out the iPhones. That's what it is. Nebuch, you don't have an iPhone. Oh, Nebuch, you only have this phone. Everything changed, but you have to be with technology. We have to know that technology is a very scary thing. We should have filters on our phones. But on the other hand, we could be a great Torah shirim. A guy could be living in Wisconsin and doing daf yomi because that's amazing. But I think that the Yosef Midavarinu, the most important thing, is that, yes, we learned about the lula of Torah, that there's Gemara. And there's a person should wear Masha Chivas, Masha Libo Chafetz. But when he's looking for a yeshiva, so he has to say, do I fit in here? Is this a place that they get it? You can't tell me what, but anyway, L'chachilu, you should at least be learning in the mirror. Like, he has to learn in Panovich. No, he has to learn in a place that's going to be comfortable for him, that he's going to get a Masika, a love of Torah. That's the most important thing. And I think later in life, for people, yeah, it's about that as well. It's about finding the perfect thing that you like to learn. And sometimes it's not Gemara. I once went to a shir, just to give you an example, I once went to a shir. I always laugh at this. I once went to a shir. My friend said to me, you got to hear this Rav, famous Rav, you got to hear him. So I went all the way out of my way to listen to the shir, and he gets up there, and I had a perfect seat in the front. I got there early because I wanted to be able to hear him well. And he gets up and he goes, Shalom Aleichem, and Rabbi Yisai. The shir was in Yiddish. And I'm like, I can't get out. I couldn't get out. It was like impossible. And I literally sat there for God knows how long, 40 minutes, with the whole shir was in Yiddish. I understood when he like quoted a pasuk and he said Moshe. I'm like, I know Moshe. Yeah. I don't understand what he's talking about. It's funny, it got a little bit better. I listened to sometimes Rav Bitterman with subtitles, and so now, right? So, okay, I'm not talking about that. No, nobody says you have to sit in your shir, you don't understand what's going on. Sometimes it's covered a Torah, you know, I don't think it's appropriate to walk out of the Rav speech, not the Rav, and just in general a Rav. If someone's speaking, you don't have to walk out. But if you know you're going to fall asleep, or you know that he's speaking about a topic you can't, you know, he's bringing up Sfanya, and until now you thought Sfanya was not in the Tanakh, you know, okay, maybe not. But on the other hand, Masha Liba Chafetz. You have to learn what you like. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's no saying, what are you doing? No. I think that's important. That's important. Last point. I think a lot of people, especially your age, have a lot of time on their hands. A lot of time. Especially if you go to a school that there's no night learning program. Right? That's not the Mitzpeh Yericho that has night, you know, my son was, you know, when you're in a dorm. So you should think to yourself, what do I like? What can I take upon myself? What learning do I like? And there should be at night something that's besides my shir, which I know should be every night of the week, and that's why you come. But there should be like a lima that you have. Some people it's daf yomi, some people it's omud yomi, some people it's four lines yomi, but something, a shir, a something, or every night I learn, you know, one parak of Tanakh. Something that your night isn't just, I come home from school at 5 o'clock and I go to sleep at whatever time, and literally for 6, 7, 8 hours I don't do any, because I don't know, at least the school my kids go to, apparently homework, there's no more homework anymore. There was a war and then there was COVID, you know, like doesn't exist anymore. Okay, but there has to be some sort of limud. There has to be a safer something you take apart. And that's what the amazing thing with Svarim, like Rav Rimon Svarim. People are getting so close that they can understand it better. Whatever it might be. There's nothing wrong with that. Rav Zilberstein has the kids Rav Zilberstein Svarim. Great! But it should be something that gets you involved, because Torah Zerav Moshe Fein says is a different subject than all other subjects. And that is the Iker, by the way. When we got out of Mitzrayim, famously in our parsha, Biskein, right, what does it say? I said this morning in my lesson for Leif. Who am I going with? No, everyone. Everyone, he says. Right? He says, no, binareinu bizakeinenu. No, it's not just, I don't care if the kids are making noise. I gave a word from the Zayid Ranan. Rav Zilberstein has a shayla. He says, what's better? Okay, you're not supposed to take your kids, little kids to shul, they're going to make noise. But he asks, he always goes to the Hasidish Rabbi for Rosh Hashanah. So when your kids get old enough, yeah, you have to bring them. It's annoying to bring them, yeah. But that's the whole idea. That's Moshe Rabbeinu saying. It's everyone. Obviously, the kids are going to learn something different than the adults. Yeah, Hakel was to see, why is my dad so interested in this? Wow. What is it? He doesn't understand yet what it is. What the Levium are and the Kayanim are and the reading of the Melon. But they get to that point and they get inspired, and hopefully they'll have that beauty, that Masik of Torah. That's really what the Iker is. Good night.